Get to a great start, in this year of the prolific church, as you contemplate these seven important points.
I want to discuss seven points that you're going to be considering in this year of the prolific church.
Listen and be blessed.
All right, next, our work. Okay? You know, we got our vision. Now we got to do the work that makes it happen. In the vision, in the scheme of things, understanding the message of the year as a propelling force. And what a determining factor in our accomplishments. Clarifying within us in respect to our assignments, our vision. And I said, okay, here's my work. Here's my job. How am I doing it? How is the vision being projected? It's about who I am in the scheme of things. It's about who I am. Right from the gate man. If the gate man understands his role, his place, what kind of a person will he be? I've asked myself through the years, if I were given an assignment and my assignment were at the gate, or my assignment were at the reception, or whatever it would have been, if I had insight into the knowledge of God, the Word of God, as my journey took me, I still would be what I am. I would make the gate such that the whole world would come to the gate. I've thought about it. I told you, when I was a Bible study class teacher, you're supposed to have about 12 people in your class. My class was always the largest. The head teacher always came to my class to take away people. And next week, we will grow again and it will be large. You find them straining to hear me. There are other classes, but mine was the largest. We've won souls. They've come, and they're all straining to. They don't want to go anywhere else. They're in my class. I was just a Bible study class teacher. So he'll come in there and say, you, follow me. They don't want to go. But he drags them away and puts them in another class. Till next Thursday. It was always on Thursday. Next Thursday again, the class is large. Every Thursday, they remove people from my class. So the sign was there. By the time I became the president of the fellowship, people were sitting on the windowsills. The place was full. But when I first came, I was wondering, why are we so few? Why? I looked around. Why are we so few? We were few in the class that we were using. Why are we so few? The answer was evangelism. I went into soul winning with my colleague, a classmate. Winning souls and winning souls. So why are we so few? John Wesley said, if you will burn. People will come to see the fire. They will come to see the fire. I went to, what do you call that place, going toward Badagry. I had a camp meeting in Badagry. Inside the bush in Badagry. Badagry is far. I had a camp meeting there. They journeyed, they came. People came there to have camp meeting with me in Badagry. What did I give them? Bread? Was I distributing something to them? No, I'll share the word of God with them. We were there for several days. It was camp meeting. This, when you go to Asheshe, all right, inside there, forest, we cleared inside it. The world came to meet us there for Good Friday miracle service. It didn't hold in Tafawa Balewa Square. It was not about the place. It was about the message. The journey to the place. The 31st night, we brought the whole world to Asheshe. With a large crowd in the place. And that is by making them register. You're still trying to reduce, making sure it's not too much. So it's not today. It's from the Bible study class where I was. Sharing the word in truth, in verity. Because if it's the righteousness of God, wherever you are will be the central focus. It will be the place of God. Say, I have answers. I have solutions. I have answers. I have solutions. Then you become the real consultant. They're coming to you. They're coming to you. You become knowledgeable. They're coming to you. Become such a person in your job. Become knowledgeable in your field. It starts with you deciding to go for knowledge. The knowledge I'm talking about cannot be given to you in the school. The knowledge that makes you a success is not gained from school. Make no mistakes about it. This is a truth that has been proved again and again through the years and through all nations. The best medical doctors are not the ones that went to the best schools. Why? They're not the ones that have the best degrees. Why? Why aren't they? The best ones are the ones that did more research about the subject. They studied on their own about the subject. Not in the classroom. They wanted to know more. Success is not delivered in a certificate, my brothers and sisters. Are you still here? Okay. To become knowledgeable in your field, study some more. There's a lot of information already you can work on. And build from there. And discover what others didn't even know. That's the real work when you want to make your world better. I told you about investing in your personality so that you have something to deliver to others. What's in you? Listen, it's only what you got inside you that you can give. And you say, if I had the opportunity. No, you got it all the time. You got it all the time. In fact, you have more opportunities than you realize. I just told you, if I were at the gate, I would have done exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing. In my hostel, it was the same. My hostel. In my hostel. When I started sharing and discussing with people, they came and sat around. And you've had them on the other bed and on the other bed in the hostel. Now you have them sitting and listening to me on the double bunk. They're sitting like this and they're listening to me. And it's not a formal meeting. I started talking to two people, then the three, five. Others came, stood there. And before long, others gathered. That's the way it was. It was a regular thing. In the university, I'm talking about secondary school. What I just told you. Secondary school. In the university, it was exactly the same thing. In the hostel, they came to my room until they started sitting on the corridor outside. Not a formal meeting. They're listening to me. Then I now have to get up and be walking around. Coming out because they are sitting outside. Outside my room. These things didn't happen in the corner. There are people who were there. And some of them are still with us today. They will tell you what their eyes saw. Not a formal meeting. That's why I said, it doesn't matter. Even if I were at the gate, I would do the same thing. Because I would be with that same message that I found about Jesus. And it's not the preaching, it's the living. What was different with Jesus was that he was the message. Not just what he said, but they heard him. And he was the embodiment of that message. You can't preach love as a theory. You live it. You walk it. John watched Jesus as he passed by. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Behold the Lamb of God. That's how John saw him. He didn't say, see how quiet this man is. It was not how quiet. No, it was a message. So behold the Lamb of God. Make up your mind. Your work is going to be with distinction. With distinction. You are at that desk for Jesus Christ. You are that office for Jesus Christ. You're on that assignment for Jesus Christ. Don't work as if you're working for a man. Work as one who knows you're working for the Lord. For of the Lord shall you receive a just reward. Work like that. And see the value of those who work with you. See them as your first group or class or community to demonstrate the righteousness of God. Because if you won't do it with them, where are you going to do it? Where else are you going to do it? That means it'll never be. Because that's how your world grows. And the principle of Jesus, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful in much. If you're faithful in that which is least, you're faithful in much. You have some people who almost everyone that has worked with them has resigned. What kind of a person is that? But you have others who everyone who has worked with them has become very successful. Productive. They have a positive influence. But this is the guy, all his friends or all her friends have left. Why is it that all those people who come and who after they've been your friends for some time, they tender resignation? What are they hearing? That means that that individual is poisonous. It's poisonous. Say, sister or brother, he's had three or four friends that have always been around him. So where is so-and-so? It doesn't work anymore. And then this three, no longer working here. Then I think he used to have some friends 3 years ago. Those ones are no longer working here. These new ones that he had in the last 2 years are no longer working here. I think it's time for him to stop working here. Because he's going to keep doing it. Whatever it is he's doing. So is it his fault? Maybe it's not his fault. It is him. That means it's his personality. So, you have to take him from there and put him somewhere else. Because if there's a consistency, something is amiss. Something is amiss. Listen, I look at the Word of God in a very practical way. And at the same time, I see our mode of operation has to be with pragmatism. It's important. It's important. I take your speech into consideration. How you talk. Both when you're on your guard and when you're not. Your jokes. I take them into consideration. The Bible talks about inconvenient jokes. Right? Because there are inconvenient jokes. They are all taken into consideration. So your language is important. Your attitude is important. In a way, We'll come to that shortly. But this year, you want to do your work with distinction. With distinction. Bringing that excellence to your work. I said, learn more about your assignment. When you're given a job to do, this is all about the Lord. And it's all about you also being trained to be better equipped for the things that we do. We expect you to be the prolific you. So we're going to be expecting tremendous results. Tremendous results. Tremendous results. If your name is Pastor Benga, for example, you say, I am prolific Pastor Benga. Yes, you are. Yes, 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 you are. You sure are. Hallelujah. Four, our walk, W-A-L-K. Let me show you. We read a scripture a moment ago, and now I want to in John chapter 6, verse 66 that we read. You'd find something that's written there. I'm going to bring out to you in a second. So he says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. It meant that they were no longer following him. Do you get it? They were no longer following him. But this was like, okay, Jesus going somewhere. And they are following in steps. Okay? We are going to such and such a place together. But that's just one aspect of walk. Another aspect of walk means doing things together. Not work now, but practicing a way of life. So when it says they walk no more with him, means they no longer lived according to his teachings. They stopped walking in his guidance. They stopped following his instructions. They were no longer in fellowship with him. Are you following what I'm telling you? Yeah. So, no longer his disciples. They stopped following his teachings. They stopped living according to his instructions, his guidance. They walk no more with him. All right. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 5. Verse 22. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Enoch walked with God. Did you see that? This man, Enoch, walked with God. Did he see God? So it's not about trekking around with him. Right? Certainly not. Certainly not. Certainly not. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Next verse. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. He was not, for God took him. This man, he didn't die. They didn't find him. Because God took him. What in the world happened to him? So you go to Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated. By faith, which means Enoch didn't just suddenly find, oh, what happened to me? Oh, I've gone to heaven. No. Since it was by faith, it means that Enoch was expectant. Enoch knew it was going to happen. Enoch looked forward to it. That's important. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Oh, hallelujah. He knew he pleased God. How can you know you're pleasing God? You have to know God's will. When you know his will, you will know whether you are living according to his will. Then you are pleasing God if you are living according to his will. If you're not doing his will, you're not pleasing him. It's not hard to know. This man knew. He had the testimony that he pleased God. Hallelujah. So we all have to please the Lord as we prepare for the rapture. Correct? By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found. He was not. Remember Genesis we read? Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not. So in the New Testament, you were helped in completing it. He was not found. He was not. Right? So go to Hebrews 11, 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So in your walk, you're going to please God. Are you ready to please the Lord? You have to. It has to become your personal testimony that you're pleasing the Lord. You're pleasing the Lord. If you walk in love, you please the Lord. Yeah. You walk in the righteousness of God, you please the Lord. He'll be pleased with you. Number 5, our prayer. Now, how many of you participate in the Pastor Chris Live Prayer Network? How many of you do participate? Oh, that's a beautiful response. Almost all of you. I'm not talking about the Monday, Wednesday, Friday official one at 12. I'm talking about all the other ones that run throughout the day. Any 15 minutes outside the 12 o'clock one, How many of you participate in those ones? Most of you do. That's very good. This year, do it and do it even more. Make sure to do it. Did you hear me? Yes. Make sure to do it. Be involved in prayer. And this prayer chain that we are doing has to continue. It is so vital. It has to continue. It has to continue. And I hope that the pastors are following this guide. It is very, very important. Let the brethren know how important our prayer life is. And this is one important guidance that the Lord has given us concerning our prayer. There is your personal prayer life, but there is also the corporate prayer life. And you look at the Bible, in the book of Acts, they had a prayer life, an official prayer life, which is the corporate prayer life. The church had one. In fact, beginning with the very early church, they copied Jesus. Where else would they have gotten it? You read in chapter 3, they were going to the temple at the hour of prayer. That means at the time of prayer. At the time of prayer. At that time, they were still able to use the temple courts. They were still able to use those facilities. You remember later on, beginning with Paul, they had to separate the brethren from the others and find new facilities to use. They used to be allowed to use the official buildings for religious purposes. Anybody who wanted to use that for prayer could go there. But persecution broke out. And they could no longer use those government facilities. That has happened in many nations. And this led to churches purchasing their own facilities to use. I wonder how many people come to pray in your church building. I told you before that that's the reason, that's one of the reasons for COVID. When people were locked out of their churches and God didn't find a reason to defend the churches. They were not being used. Who was using them to pray? Nobody was praying there. So, let your church become active. Let it be a house of prayer. Let it be a place of prayer. Let people come there and pray. It's painful to see that churches, they're not praying there. Not praying. They're not praying. Before COVID, the churches were not interested in prayer. They wanted concerts. They wanted anything but prayer. They were bored of prayer. So we have been led by God's Spirit to get prayer back in its place. And we're doing it. And let's do it more. Let's do it more. Let's do it more. So encourage the brethren on prayer. And I'm talking about our corporate prayer. Along with this, I did tell you that we were going to, after we practiced the 1 month unending praise, and I told you that we were going to do a full year's long unending praise. We have to put everything in order so we can begin in February. So we have to work hard. And so all the churches have to get ready for us to be involved in this.
We trust that you've been blessed by this message. For more uplifting messages by Pastor Chris, download the Pastor Chris Digital Library app.